Ryder here. Welcome to Pegging Paradise podcast number 206 on July 3rd, 2018. Changing the world one ass at a time. If you would like to support my efforts to offer accurate information around pegging and deconstruct the myths and misconceptions, head on over to Patreon and become a patron of my work. All patrons have access to the podcast a day early, as well as a 24/7 chat channel full of pegging practitioners from all over the world. Rewards for the various levels of support include written and audio erotica to excite and inspire. Just go to patreon.com/rubyrider or click the Support My Work button on my website. Another way to support my work is through enticeme.com, the little black dress of pleasure products. Entice Me offers a carefully curated selection of luxury, body-safe, non-toxic toys for your enjoyment. Just go to enticeme.com, #rubyrider, and for 15% off of your entire purchase, use the coupon code RIDER, that's RYDER. If you'd like assistance figuring out which pegging equipment is the best choice for you, I do offer free equipment phone consultations for customers of Entice Me. You will be supporting my efforts to change hearts and minds about pegging. Okay, so clearly my intro included Patreon, so things have calmed down there a bit, as you heard last time. Yes, now Patreon is a tip jar, pretty much. There's not going to be anything exciting there. However, if you sign up as a patron, you will absolutely get the exciting things. So let me tell you what the different levels of support offer. For $1 a month, you get the podcast early and you get to take part in the 24/7 chat channel. For $3 a month, you get those two things, and you get all of my written erotica. For $5 a month, you get those three things and all of my audio stories as well. For $20 a month, you get all of that erotica, the podcast, the 24/7 chat channel, and a special monthly audio story podcast just for you. If you become a patron for $50 a month, you'll get all of those things I just offered, plus twice a month, I will be available for office hours for 2 hours, a 2-hour segment. As a matter of fact, right after I finish recording this, I'll have office hours for my $50 patrons from 5 p.m. to 7 p.m. California time. And if you become a $100 a month patron, you will get all of those things I just mentioned. Plus, once a year, you will get a personalized erotic story. I will write whatever erotic story you would like me to write. So there you go. That is what all the reward tiers look like. And it took me a while to kind of get those right and to get them regular. So I'd like to thank the patience of my current patrons. You guys have been very patient with me, figuring all this out, the best way to do it, the best way to keep up with it, and how to offer it. And actually, I think Patreon did me a little bit of a favor in terms of making me move everything off of Patreon, because now it's a little bit easier to just send you these things in an email. So there you have it. I did write a blog post about it. It's called An Open Letter to Patreon. And for those of you who are just podcast listeners and don't often make it over to my blog, I will put a link for that in the Linkorama for you, but excoriate is the word that comes to mind. I spoke my mind and I headed the article itself. I headed the piece I wrote with the exact type of photo that they would never let me put up on Patreon. So there you have it. And now that I've expressed myself about all of that Patreon bullshit, I'm going to let it go, and I'm going to get back to being the creator of all this cool stuff that you guys know and love. That is the Patreon story, and indeed, we do have a Patreon update for some new patrons.
Yes.
Steven, you are now my patron for $1 a month. Thank you so much. Andrew. You are also my patron for a $1 a month pledge. Thank you so much for your support. And Chris, you've signed up to be my patron for $5 a month. Gentlemen, thank you so much. I really appreciate your support, your patronage, your generosity. Thank you. So this next thing I want to tell you about, I'm really excited about. Tiffany has made this incredibly generous offer to all fans of Pegging Paradise and all listeners of the podcast. She will do a free 20-minute laser coaching call with you and get all your sex questions answered. She's a master sex coach. It's really hard to have a business where you're dealing with all of these different sexual toys and things like that without becoming a master sex coach. But it's not just that. She has an intuitive sense about what people need, what they're struggling with, and things like that. So she is offering all Ruby Rider fans a 20-minute call for free. If you have a few questions or you're just struggling with something, it could be just the thing you need. And it will also help Tiffany better understand what people are struggling with in their sex lives right now. So the link is going to be there right on the photo. I'm going to put the graphic that she sent me. And that link will go straight to a place to schedule. It literally goes to a calendar so you can schedule yourself in and have a 20-minute call with Tiffany. So take advantage of that if that's something that even remotely interests you and you have some unanswered questions, you have some wonderings, you have some things you've been thinking about but maybe weren't ready to explore, any of that stuff. Get your questions answered. 20 minutes. So take advantage of that and then write me and let me know what you think. Everybody who has done work with Tiffany raves about how good she is at this. So I have complete faith in her to help you guys out if you're struggling with something. So there you go. All right, let's get to your emails. Greetings, Ruby. I've been a happy listener since September 2017 and will be writing a longer email to tell you about all the wonderful changes your podcast has brought into my life. But first, I thought I'd share a quick idea I had for something your listeners could refer to themselves as, something that could someday be a wink to others in this community you are forging, shorthand for givers, receivers, or hopefuls. Examples which will expose my nerd leanings are Star Trek fans are Trekkies or Trekkers. Lord of the Rings fan club members are Ringers. While listening to last week's episode, I had a vision. Once again, you referred to episode 112. I was struck by the thought of how many people out there had been listening and dreaming of a, quote, someday I'll get up the nerve, end quote, moment, and then found episode 112. They, like I, took a deep breath, took their lover's hand, and pressed play, beginning an odyssey of discovery. It was clearly a revolutionary episode, building on all that you had learned and refined, distilled into a bundle of easily shared, misconception-shattering info for the masses and their asses. We all like to think we give and get 100% in bed. When it's special, we say that it was 110%. But when it's transcendent, well, that's 112%. Here is where a person more adept at Photoshop would attach a silhouette of a voluptuous body wearing a strap-on with a logo that might say what they mean when they ask for 112%. So that's my idea. I'm not a 1%er, as my meager Patreon pledge shows. I don't feel like a 99%er because I've been transformed. I'm proudly a 112%er, more about my wants and desires, and more fulfilled because of them. Those were both intended. Thanks again for all you do. Proud member of the 112%, Stephen. This is a really cute idea. I think a whole lot of people had no idea what you meant. It's funny because some time ago, I actually designed a couple of shirts that said pegger and peggy, and there's a lot of people out there that actually don't even know what the word pegging means yet. I mean, yeah, it's spreading, and more people are getting it, and more people are hearing about it, but there still seems to be quite a few people out there who are like, what's pegging? And then, of course, I say, you know, let me Google that for you. However, I like the idea, 112%, and I know there must be a Photoshop person out there somewhere who can whip up that logo or something along those lines. I have to agree, you know, the podcast number 112 really was quite something. I wrote it all out really, really specifically because I wanted to do a book. And the book that I wanted to do was going to sell on Amazon, and it was going to be something you pay like $5 for or something like that. And then I thought, no, you know what? This really needs to be out there for anyone and everyone. It really, really does. I don't want there to be a paywall between that information and the people who really need it and want it. So I've never been sad that I put 112 out there, and I still have in my mind, I'm working on it, one for the guys. I don't know what the number's going to be, but it'll be one for the guys. And I don't think it will be as much destroying myths and misconceptions, although there will absolutely be some of that, but it will be how to relax into your wants and needs and desires, as opposed to how to talk your partner into doing this with you. We'll see. We will see. Okay. Thank you for that message. That was really sweet. Here's my next email. I started out with ass play probably when I was in my late teens or early 20s. I wanted to see how it felt on myself before I tried anal on my girlfriend at the time. I just wanted her to have a good experience with it. Maybe not a lot of guys would have done it that way, but I did. But that was my line of thinking at the time. As I got older, probably around 30 years old, way back in the year 2000, I was dating an older woman, and I was an open book. I told her about all my naughty fantasies. I was nervous, wondering how she would respond to my sexual fantasies, but it turned out she was just as excited as I was about the thought of pegging me. She was excited about playing a dominant role and having me be submissive, so naturally we both loved it. I remember asking for her to fist me before too long. I hear some women that write to you wonder if their guy might be gay or bi. I can only speak for myself. I've always been heterosexual, but I have to admit that I have been bi curious. I'm not sure if it's because I love the feeling of being pegged or that I love to have a woman suck on my cock that makes me think I may want to try and see how it actually feels with a man. I've never been attracted to men, so I'm not sure if I'd ever try it. That's just my honest opinion, and I think most men might feel that way. Well, I thought I'd share my thoughts with you, Ruby. You're doing an awesome job. Keep up the great work, Al. Al, thank you so much for sharing that with us. I think that a lot of guys are becoming more open to the bi-curiosity thing as the stigma of being bisexual and or gay falls by the wayside a bit, which thank God it's doing, goodness. And I think that it can stimulate that bi-curiosity if that was there all along, but it was something you just kind of hid away and didn't want to think about, maybe even because society said you're not supposed to think about it. Well, when you get pegged and when you get a lot of ass play, you start you thinking about it maybe, and then you start wondering about the real thing. Now, there's a whole bunch of guys out there who get pegged and this never even crosses their mind. And then there are some who do react like you do. Those guys who do react like you describe, some of them follow through on it and check it out, and a lot of them don't. It can remain a fantasy. It can remain actually a very titillating fantasy that you kind of talk dirty talk about with your partner if you like. Thank you so much for the letter and the kind words. I appreciate you writing in, Al. Okay, this is a series of messages I got on FetLife. And this guy just describes things so well, and the way he uses his language, I just had to read this to you. Although we've not met, I feel that you've been guiding me through my pegging experience right from the beginning. Insight, encouragement, and confidence are just a few of the traits I've borrowed from you. You've been right there with me every time I've gone face down and ass up for her. And then he goes on to say, funny how life has a way of offering us opportunities to fill a need. I'm sure that you've helped hundreds, nay, thousands of hesitant couples fulfill their deepest desires. For me personally, the intimacy that grew out of being penetrated by my spouse and offering myself up completely in a way that I never, ever thought I could, has opened doors into my own feelings and desires that I never knew existed. The two of you have taught me much about myself, and for that I am eternally grateful. P.S. I am the quintessential, rugged, masculine, Harley-riding, construction-working outdoorsman that one would say No way if you told them that one of the greatest physical pleasures in my life has been to submit to a good thrashing at the business end of a beautiful woman's cock. I responded to him and said, love you rugged, manly men, but you know that because you listen to the podcast. You may hear your sharing here on my podcast anonymously, of course, because you worded it all so well. When I first began exploring pegging, I had no clue it might be a sexual activity that could be instrumental in opening a man up emotionally as well as physically, that it could deepen intimacy so profoundly through the vulnerability required. Color me surprised. And he responded, the first few times truly just blew my mind. I had done my share of self-play and had a pretty good idea of what felt good where. When someone else took the wheel and I was truly just receiving the pleasure, it changed the game entirely. I'm one of the lucky ones that can have multiple anal orgasms without touching anything else. The trick for me in reaching orgasm has been to enjoy the pegging and the strap-on fun and get totally into the moment physically and emotionally. But when it's time, it takes a bit more speed and motion than can be achieved through a strap-on. So, taking matters in hand seems to be a simple solution that works every time. A few minutes of more rapid thrusting pace with a handheld and I'm gone. It has absolutely given me a deep appreciation of both sides of the equation. From soft and gentle to feverish and forceful, there's a sweet spot for everyone. Yes, so very well expressed. Thank you so much for all of that. The reason that I wanted to read these messages and the exchange that I had with this man is because I always really like to destroy the misconception that it's the manly masculine macho guys that can't do this. You know, it's of course they wouldn't do this. Exactly like he said, you know, you would look at me and never ever think that this is something that I dearly love and take so much pleasure in. But I just want all the really masculine, you know, Harley riding, truck driving guys out there to know this can be for you too. And it's an amazing amount of pleasure if you have any inclination to explore it. So yes, I delight in getting the letters from the guys that do not fit the submissive taking it in the ass mold, if you will. Okay. Thank you so much for all of that, and thanks for letting me share it on the podcast as well. Okay, here is my next email. Oh, and this one is pretty erotic. I mean, he's relating an experience, but he's also telling quite an erotic story, so buckle in, everybody. Here we go. Hi, Ruby. I thought I would share a recent pegging experience. We had just put our daughter down for a nap when my wife asks me, do you want to have sex? I gladly reply, sure. When I get into the bedroom, she asks how my butt is doing. I reply, good, I think. She then commands me to take off my clothes, which I obediently and quickly do. As I'm laying face down on the bed, she reprimands me in a firm tone. I said, all your clothes. Compliantly, I take off my white lace panties and lay down on my stomach again. Turn over, she growls. She takes one of my ties from the closet and ties my hands above my head to the headboard of the bed. Then come the kisses, on my nipples first, then up my neck, and finally, passionately, on my mouth. I'm so turned on and desperately craving to get fucked, but the strap-on doesn't come out yet. Instead, she straddles me wearing only her cotton panties and a tank top. In my excited and tied-up state, I struggle to pull her tank top to the side using only my mouth. She sees what I'm trying to do and removes the tank top, allowing me to pleasure her breasts with my mouth. I lick her hard, erect nipples with my tongue, and she grinds harder against my cock and lets out a moan. Then she suddenly gets up and heads back to the closet. When she returns, she's holding a large dildo in harness, and I watch her as she puts it on. She climbs onto the bed, spits on the dildo, and presses it up against my ass, but the angle is wrong, so she gets a pillow and puts it under my butt. She spits on the dildo again, and I ask her to stroke my cock and put light pressure against my anus with the dildo. Slowly, the dildo slides inside me, filling me up. It is slightly uncomfortable at first, but that quickly goes away and begins to feel really good. I tell her not to thrust yet, but to keep stroking my penis and slowly push the toy all the way inside me. She pushes the thick, 7-inch-long dildo all the way inside me, and it feels so fucking good. She looks so incredibly sexy as she takes me in this position with her hair down, arms flexing, and beautiful breasts exposed. I tell her how hot she looks, and she tells me to take her cock. I respond, fuck me. She begins to thrust slowly at first, but then faster and faster, while gripping my cock hard and stroking up and down. I tell her, your cock feels so good inside me, and she fucks me hard. And within seconds, I have an explosive orgasm. After cleaning up the toy, I come back to the bedroom with our Hitachi magic wand and her dildo, Ovikskin Mustang. I start to kiss her lightly before using the toys, and she reprimands me. I'm not starting from zero. I'm pretty turned on right now. You can use the toys on me. So I put the magic wand on her clit and press the dildo against her vagina. She recommends that I suck on the dildo to lube it up, which I gladly do. Within seconds of sliding in the dildo, she starts moaning and comes loudly from an intense orgasm. We both lay on the bed next to each other afterwards. What an awesome Friday afternoon. So, I'm going to call this a lovely contribution to the knowledge base of what you can do when you get in bed together with an idea of pegging in mind. It's not an erotic story because iTunes doesn't allow erotic stories. This is a contribution to the knowledge base. I do have to comment on one thing, and this is from a sex educator point of view. Spit is not lube. Anyone who has ever taken my class in person or a webinar online knows that spit is not lube. They pretend like it's lube in porn, but it's not lube. Please, please, please use lube. It makes for a much smoother ride. It works much better. And you don't have to spit on anything. You just use the lube. Okay, that's the only part of that that really just sounded like a porn thing, right? So yeah, spit is not lube. But thank you so much for sending that description of your awesome Friday afternoon, and I'm sure all my listeners enjoyed it just as much as I did. Okay, so next up here, I wanted to let you guys know that back in podcast number 202, I spoke of a female-led relationship blog that I found particularly fascinating that was written by a guy describing his story of their transition into this female-led relationship. And originally he wrote me, you know, struggling with porn and things like that. So he's done a lot more with that blog. He's added a bunch of things. He has a 3-part birthday description of what happened on his birthday. That's very erotic. He's also written up a guide for men who are interested in asking their partners to be in a relationship of that sort. And of course, there's all different intensities, if you will, of a female-led relationship. Perhaps she's just in control in the bedroom. Perhaps what you want is BDSM, or maybe not. But he has some great advice about entering into one of those and how to ask for it. So if that is something that appeals, I'll put the link in the Linkorama to his blog and go over and check it out. He's got some great stuff there. I got distracted reading it, so I'm a little late recording the podcast. It's like, oh, but look, there's this part. Oh, but look, there's another part. So enjoy that if that is something that appeals to you. Okay, and now I have this lovely long thing to read for you that I found on my forum. And it's so funny because I was gathering things for this podcast and thinking, okay, I need some more questions here. This is a little scanty. And then I got an email notifying me that someone had posted something in the forum. And I went and checked it out and I thought, oh my God, this is perfect for the rest of the podcast. It totally is. And this is from Chris. And it was in a conversation already existing about fisting. Did someone say fisting? You have my attention. My wife and I met online, OkCupid. We're a switch couple with a loosely framed FLR, female-led relationship. I'm mostly submissive, and she's mostly dominant. She stumbled upon my profile quite accidentally, as we lived 75 miles apart at the time, and neither of us was looking for a mate that far away from the nest. She read my profile, and then she contacted me. We talked later that evening and set up a date to meet for lunch Friday. We both work long hours in office jobs, and we happen to have the same schedule, half day every Friday. During our initial telephone conversation, she hinted at kink and lifestyles a bit. I was very cautious because I'd already scared a couple women off with the whole pegging idea. This gal was bold, and she kept digging, patiently and respectfully, but she kept digging at me to find out where my sex flag was pointing, vanilla or kinky pervert. I certainly felt as if I was the most kinky, sick pervert on the planet. I was fresh out of a very bad 14-year marriage, and I wasn't having good luck meeting the right gal for me. I had done some pegging with my ex-wife, but she was 100% vanilla and completely turned off by the idea. She let me know that this was well beyond normal and what she thought of this kink. We tried it a couple times and threw the harness away. I was trying to be very subtle with women and get to know them before discussing dirty sex. I'd made it to a handful of dates with several women, and every time the sex came up, I scared them off with only a mere mention of pegging. These were women who had advertised themselves as being okay with, quote, alternative lifestyles and kink. But what I found out was they were all submissives and didn't have any interest in strapping into a harness for a romp with my horny ass. So here I was on the phone with this woman whom I've never met. She's made the first move all the way. Initial contact on the website, initial phone call, suggestion for the date. And she's digging at me, trying to see if my freak flag blows in the same direction as hers. I'm trying to not screw this up again, so I'm trying to avoid any direct answers that give away too much before I even meet her in person. She finally drops the term role reversal about 20 to 30 minutes into this phone conversation. My jaw just about fell off. She definitely had my attention now. From the other things she hinted at earlier in the conversation, I knew for sure that this gal most definitely knew what pegging was, and that she was fishing to see if I did, and if I was into it. Well, I are. And she's got a smiley face. I still didn't answer her questions. She let me off the hook, but she told me she was letting me off the hook, so I was aware she wasn't dropping the subject accidentally. And this would be a topic of conversation while we were face to face. I was relieved and so excited to meet her. We met and spent about 3 hours getting to know each other over a lavish steak dinner at 11:45 a.m. As soon as the waiter took our drink order and left, she asked me, "So do you know what I was hinting at on the phone the other day?" "Oh, sure. You said role reversal, I think," I responded. "Yeah, and we talked for another 30 minutes after that." "You know what I'm asking you, don't you?" she pressed. I did, but good God, I was scared to say it. I liked her, and I didn't want to screw this up. I told her, "Look, you read my profile. I tried to get my point across, but I used extremely vanilla language. You really had to read between the lines to understand what type of guy I am." She actually cut me off very politely. But she cut me off and said, "I read you 5x5, and I picked up on all your subtle hints. Very clever, by the way. So do you like strap-on sex or not? Are you just another horny dom, faking it as a submissive because it's easier to get pussy? Or are you a sub-switch that is really interested in a real alternative lifestyle with one woman?" Gulp. I guess I did kind of force her to be very direct, didn't I? I like strap-on sex, and I'm probably a switch who would enjoy either position in the role reversal games that you mentioned. My mouth was dry, and I couldn't look at her. She was silent for a few moments. I still couldn't look at her. I was so embarrassed. She pushed her butter knife across the table and gently poked my finger with the tip of it. "Chris, you can look at me. I'm not upset with you." I was so embarrassed, I just about started crying. She said, "You're red as a tomato. Relax, sweetie. I asked you out, and I asked you about the sex. It's not like you asked me to dinner under the guise of being some holy roller Christian and then threw some weird-ass kinky shit on my plate. I brought it up. You don't have to be shy or embarrassed. I like strap-ons, too." I was shocked. This was nothing like my past experience. "Did she just say that she likes wearing a strap-on harness?" I had to ask. "Yes! Strap-on sex harness. I put my rubber dildo up your ass and fuck you silly. Role reversal. You like it, right?" "Yep, sure do." After I got over my initial embarrassment and realized this woman was sitting there smiling at the thought of having her way with my ass, I actually started to enjoy the date. Our waiter came back and took our order. I was glad for the brief interruption. This gal was very nice, but she scared the hell out of me. We wrapped up the date. I was on my way farther down the highway to my father's house to turn wrenches on his classic car for the weekend. She invited me to stop back by on my way home Sunday evening for another date. Dinner, if I wasn't going to be too late. She gave me her address. I did stop by and picked her up Sunday night for another date. We went to Taco Bell, of all places. It's the only fast food she will allow herself to eat, and rarely. I'm a guy. This is fine by me. I took her home after dinner, and she asked me if I had clothes for work the next day, cautiously. Yes, why do you ask? You can stay here if you like. No pressure. I haven't had a man in my bed for quite a few years, and I'd love some snuggle time and body contact. What time do you have to be at the office tomorrow? Gulp. You sure about that? I asked. We just met. Sweetie, I have 3 handguns in this house. I'm trained to use them in close quarters combat situations, and I have a concealed carry permit. I'm not afraid of you. You're not a bad guy anyway, I can tell. I promise, I'm not crazy, and I won't shoot you unless you try to hurt me, which you won't. I spent the night. It was vanilla, but it was great. I left early the next morning and called her around 10 a.m. We talked about the distance, and I explained that I was passing through her city every weekend on my way to my father's house, another 35 miles down the road, to work on his classic car. The distance was an issue, but my weekends were scheduled for the next 6 to 8 months to go work on this car, so we could see each other Friday and Sunday night if she wanted to date and see where things ended up. We talked and sent texts over the next week. She asked if I had any anal toys or dildos. She told me she wanted to purchase a strap-on harness, but wasn't sure what size dildo I'd like. I brought toys the next weekend so she could see about what size dildos I preferred. I sheepishly admitted to being a bit of a size queen. She went ahead and bought a harness that uses a rubber O-ring to hold nearly any dildo with balls or a suction cup. It had 3 different size rings to accommodate different dildo thicknesses. I explained to her my concerns about cleanliness and excused myself for about an hour to go clean myself out in her shower. She used one of my dildos the first time she pegged me. She teased me about the size and giggled about the fun we were about to have. She wanted me to be on my back so she could see my face during our first pegging session. She got going nice and easy at first, adding more and more lube until I relaxed. Then she picked up the pace and fucked me silly for about 5 minutes. I asked her if we could switch to doggy style, and she was happy to. After I was on my hands and knees in front of her, she started in with the lube and dildo again. She had latex gloves on. She teased me a bit about the size of the dildo. It's pretty big. She said it was hot as hell to watch it stretching my ass as it went in and out. She was pumping away nice and easy when she asked me if I'd ever been fisted. No, I managed to whisper. My eyes must have been the size of dinner plates. I'd always fantasized about being fisted by an attractive woman, but I never dreamed it would happen. She stopped fucking me, but kept her dildo buried in me. Would it be okay if I tried? She asked. Gulp. This feels deliriously submissive and exposed. I asked her if she'd ever done that before. She had not, but admitted it was a fantasy she'd been coming to for about 5 or 6 years. I told her she could try, but she had to take one glove off and finger herself while she attempted to insert the other one in my ass. She came in about 15 seconds, long before her hand got anywhere near being fully inserted. She backed off, and I just stayed put, kneeling in front of her, totally exposed, head down on a pillow, and my ass up in the air like a slut. She recovered from her orgasm and came back. She started working my ass with her hand again. It took about 15 or 20 minutes, but she finally did get her entire hand past her knuckles and up my ass. It felt huge, as that was my first experience with anything of that size. I asked her to take it out almost immediately. She was very gentle and spent a lot of time making sure the water-based lubricant we were using didn't dry out. She had a squirt bottle full of water. She ended up fisting me for almost 45 minutes. She came a number of times. I don't remember even having an erection. All my focus was on my ass. and it felt so good. I slipped into subspace and ended up lying face down on the bed with three pillows propped under my chest while she slowly worked her hand in and out of my ass, all the while cooing and talking sweetly to me about how this was okay and not to be embarrassed. She ended up straddling me, facing my feet, and fisting me while she used her fingers to pleasure herself. She came while straddling my back and her juices mixed with the lube she was using on my ass. It was hot. We got married 2 years later, June of 2017. She fists or pegs me several times a month. Sometimes it's fast and furious, sometimes slow and gentle. Sometimes so deep I'm begging her to back off and give me a breather. Sometimes she goes in deep enough to get to the curve and she'll push her fingers through that ring muscle and stretch it out. It hurts so good, and I'm a slutty, moaning kitten for her when she does that. She's told me her intention is to someday get past that curve and that next ring of muscle. She says she won't be happy until she can get up to her elbow. Lately, her focus has been on seeing me fully cross-dressed, locked in a chastity cage, and having my legs pinned back as far as I can stretch them, while she goes nuts fisting my ass and using her favorite vibrator to make herself squirt. She's always so full of ideas, so I'm sure the cross-dressing will fade away, and she'll want to explore some other kink related to fisting me. It's tons of fun and never boring. I have an extremely difficult time getting and maintaining an erection while she's fisting or pegging my ass. I can get an erection, but it's a lot of work and it won't stay hard unless there's constant stimulation. So she makes me wear the chastity cage while she's fucking or fisting me. She'll usually take it off the next day or next week and let me come, but she really gets off seeing my cock all shriveled up and locked away behind the stainless steel bars while she ruins my ass again. She bought me a new dildo a few months back. It's called the Forearm, and yes, it's that big. She puts that on her sport sheets harness and rides me like a pony. I can't take the full length, but the girth is wonderful. She loves stretching my ass, and I love the feeling of being stretched. Her kinky matches my kinky. Our freak flags do indeed blow in the same direction. Wow. That's an amazing story. I really enjoyed how she's just the ones who took the reins and ran with them. You know, I've been on OkCupid before and I've never done anything like that. The times that I have found the kinky guys, most of the time they're just looking for someone to fuck or to fuck them. And they're not really looking for a long-term relationship or a more intimate encounter. They're just there doing their thing and trying to explore and find a friends with benefits or something like that. And many times, there are potentially really kinky guys out there, but they don't say they're kinky because they're too afraid of scaring off all the other women. This is a dynamic I don't really understand, because if you're not honest on your profile when you date, how are you going to find the person that your freak flags fly in the same direction? How are you going to find them? I mean, I've been in a situation before where a guy has marked his profile monogamous, and then he approaches me and I said, but I'm non-monogamous. And he goes, oh, well, I am too. I just put that because I don't want to scare all the women off. And so here's what that translates out to me. You're lying so that you can attract more women who you aren't sexually compatible with? That makes no sense to me. And I know that partly it's because the direction of most of the messages and most of the approaching goes from men to women. And the men on dating sites don't get a lot of attention at all, unfortunately, because I think it's a really cool idea what she did. I think I might try that, you know? I think I might try that, and I might be that bold. Because what happened to me when I was on OkCupid is I would not divulge soon enough. So, you know, I think it's a really good idea to divulge over the phone, because if this is something you're really into, especially the dominance and the pegging and stuff like that, that is not something to spring on someone the second or third or fifth date. It's just, especially with pegging being such a central thing in my life, I mean, it's a deal breaker, absolutely. If a guy's not into pegging, it's like, what's the point? If he's not into me beating him once in a while, it's like, what's the point? So that would be me on the other end of the phone talking with a guy and saying, so, you know, what about this? What about this? I think it is somewhat clever of you to have phrased things in a subtle way and hinted at what you're interested in, because absolutely, you know, someone who is in the lifestyle or has these kinks can read through those clues and see them and get them like she did. So that's way cool. And it's a really fun story to read. And how awesome to find a partner who basically is saying, you don't need to be embarrassed. It's really okay. I'm kinky too. This is awesome. Being embarrassed about the pegging to begin with and wanting to be more submissive is like the first step. And then being someone who really likes the bigger toys is a whole nother level of potential embarrassment. So I'm really glad that you are with someone who not only is not bothered by it, but clearly she revels in it. And you guys are kinky together. I love that. Thank you so much for sharing that story with us. So the last thing I'm going to talk about on this podcast is some observations I've made traveling around all the different kinky forums and message boards and places like that, and some opinions I have about this particular subject, which is used sex toys, okay? So here's the deal. There does seem to be quite the gender differential when it comes to used sex toys. For example, if a guy meets a woman who has some used sex toys, maybe even a strap-on harness with a dildo that she used to peg her last guy or other guys, he usually doesn't complain about it. He's so happy to have found a woman who will fuck him that as long as she cleans the toys, they're good to go, right? But if a woman meets a man who has sex toys that he has previously used on a different partner, most women kind of freak out about that. I mean, I ran across this thread, and one of the women on the thread said, you know, God knows where that's been. And the point is that there exists methods of sanitization that really don't matter where it's been. If it's 100% silicone toy, you can boil it, you can wipe it down with alcohol, and then you can put it in a UV box, and you are good to go. The surface of that toy no longer contains anything that you can transmit. So I've always sort of wondered why there's a difference. And I suppose there's a difference with the gender reactions. I mean, I suppose there's a difference because men are so happy to have found someone who will fuck them that they don't complain about the toys. Women get a little bit more squicked out about it. It's kind of interesting. Or perhaps they get a little bit more... They get a little bit more jealous, a little bit more proprietary. And indeed, it can be a way cool thing to go shopping for your own toys. But at the same time, those of you who have the good toys, you know, sex toys are expensive. And that sort of lets out the situation where, say, a guy really wants to explore pegging. He's been doing some self-exploration, so he bought a dildo to go in his own ass, and he's doing some self-play. And he wants to get something to be prepared so that if he meets a woman who is really into it, that he'll have the equipment there. That is a cool thing to think about. However, there are so many choices with pegging equipment that the chances that you might not get it quite right to what her preferences would be are kind of big. And it's cool that you have a toy that you do self-play with, but for you guys out there that are hopefuls, that you really want to get pegged someday, but you're not there yet, I would hold off on buying the harness until you find someone who's really into it. And who knows, you might meet a woman who's already got her own equipment. Self-play requires that you have at least one toy that you use for your solo explorations, but it doesn't require you actually having the harness. So anyway, I was a little bit blown away at how reactive these women were. It was in a female dominant group, right? And so it's kind of like, I'm not going to use any toy that he had before and wah, 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 you know? And I found that a little hypocritical. Because if you are a female dominant who fucks more than one guy with your strap on, most female dominants that I know don't have a different toy for every guy they fuck. It's just not the way it goes. You just clean your toys really well and you use them. On the other hand, here are the female dominants saying, I'm not touching that. Who knows where it's been? And it was, wow, it was not fair. It really wasn't. And so I guess I just wanted to put a vote out there that good silicone toys can be sanitized so effectively that it really doesn't matter where it's been. Now, if there's some emotional attachment to it, like, oh, you know, this is the pink one, and I can remember how she used to fuck me with it, and there's an emotional attachment there, well, get the fucking thing gone if you broke up with that person, because there's emotional attachments. But a lot, you know, not very many people attach emotions to a toy necessarily. I do recall being on Reddit one time, and a guy put a question up there that basically said, so we used to do the pegging thing, my girlfriend and I, and we broke up. And I'm the one that kind of bought all the toys, but I'm kind of wondering, you know, how is this supposed to work? Are we supposed to split the toys? Are we, you know, should I keep them because I pretty much bought most of them? Or maybe should I just have this big bonfire in the backyard? And I had to laugh at that last suggestion because if he has 100% silicone toys, you can have a bonfire, but they're not going to burn. So that's the really funny part of that suggestion. But there is no protocol, there is no rule about who gets to keep what, and I guess it can be quite a sensitive situation. But I'm of the opinion that if you've got some really good expensive toys, well, then clean them as thoroughly as you can possibly clean them and be done with it and be okay with it. And of course, you do have to consider the preferences of your partner. But I guess I wanted to talk about this for all the women out there that might have that squick thing, but they're kind of on the line, you know. There's your information. And here is a metaphor that maybe might help you to feel less squicky about it, or at least help you understand where I come from. You know how you eat off your dishes, you have dinner, and then you put them in the dishwasher to clean them so you can put food on them and eat again? It's kind of like that's what you do with sex toys. It's the same thing. It's like you clean them really, really effectively, and you know that they're totally clean again, and then you use it again. It's really okay. And you can either use it again with the same person or you can use it with a different person. And if that person, if the guy has some concern that you've used it before on another person, condoms may be something that could make him feel more comfortable, perhaps. Anyway, I just wanted to chat about that a bit because it is a subject that doesn't get talked about a lot in the sex toy community. There actually used to be a place on a retailer's website where it was sort of like a message board where people could advertise toys for sale. I think there might be a Reddit group like that. And it is a little dicey because I don't think that, you know, the FDA would be happy to know that. But at the same time, that's sort of like selling your used bicycle, selling a used sex toy, right? And I got a couple of really good toys that way. I did. I got some major deals because they're things that could be sanitized. They're not porous. They don't have toxic chemicals. They're completely sterilizable is a term that the chemist guy told me some podcast back I shouldn't be using unless I'm putting things in an autoclave, that truly they're not sterilized unless I put them in the autoclave. So I'm trying to use the word sanitize now because he educated me. So there you go. But sanitization is so effective, and especially with the UV box, 99.9% of all transferable bad germ icky things are dead, basically. Somebody also asked me, well, why couldn't you put the leather harness in the UV box? And that's because leather is porous. UV light works by being able to shine on the surface of whatever it's sanitizing. So with that porosity, the light can't get into those little areas like that. So, all right. Lecture about sanitizing sex toys and using used sex toys and being open to the idea of using used sex toys and being okay with it. The lecture is over. Thank you for listening. If you have any questions, please feel free to send them to me. I'm happy to talk more about that. And I'm going to put the links to the UV box again, just for people to check it out. That's my newest, greatest toy, I swear. It relieves so much of my concerns because HPV was found on toys that had been boiled and wiped with alcohol. As I did more reading on it, I found out that when people say they boil it, usually they don't boil it long enough to kill everything. So if you are someone who boils your toys, the consensus on the interwebs is that you should boil your toys for at least 5 minutes. A full boil, not just bring it to a boil and leave it there and turn it off, and not just pouring boiling water over your toys. So if you are someone who boils toys, yeah, leave it in there like 5 minutes. It's not going to hurt anything if it's 100% silicone. All right, now I guess I'm done. Oh, and hey, I totally forgot to mention, but I definitely wanted to include it in this podcast. You guys kicked me over the $5,000 sales mark for the quarter. So now, for the next month, I get 40% off of everything that Tiffany sells. Thank you so much. I really, really appreciate you buying toys so that I could buy toys. That was an excellent birthday present. Thank you all. That is it for this podcast. You can find my work at peggingparadise.com, where I have my blog, my podcast, my erotica, and the forum. Pegging101.com has informational pegging articles only with no kink. My podcasts are available through a variety of podcast downloader apps, which you can find a sampling of under the tab Follow on my website for both Android and iPhones. You can also stream my podcast directly from my website if you want to. The Follow tab has links for you to subscribe to my blog, follow me on Twitter, and check out my Facebook page. If you order some sexy new toys from enticeme.com, please remember to use that coupon code RIDER for 15% off of your entire purchase. Send your questions to Ruby at peggingparadise.com. No question is too cynical, too complicated, or too childish. Many listeners are going to learn along with you, so don't be shy. Throw those questions in my mailbox, or you can call me at 805-500-6544. Thank you for downloading and listening, everybody. You rock. Happy pegging.